Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is perhaps the most shocking of all parables. I mean, the steward is stealing from his master. The master discovers this, fires him, and then the steward steals more. But this time his stealing benefits others. He cancels the debts of his master's debtors, buying their favor at his master's expense. And then the master, by extension, Jesus himself, commends the steward when we were expecting him to condemn the steward. I mean, there's something broken in us that expects leniency, understanding for ourselves, but justice for others. And even Jesus tells us the world cannot understand parables. Why it likes a Good Samaritan parable? Because in it, they think it's about being nice and being not judgmental or bigoted. And like this one, the steward is just looking out for himself. And Hollywood does this too, that we can cheer for a bad guy who is clever, who takes from a rich man. That parables are not like Aesop's fables for virtue. Now, sure, they can convey something of ethics and applied knowledge, but that's not the point. Jesus lies at the heart of parables. For those ears to hear, for those who know the secrets of God's grace, the foolishness of the cross, and receive it by faith. The parables of Jesus reveal the heart of Jesus, his kingdom. They're meant to proclaim the gospel and bestow the theological virtues of faith, hope, love. And in this regard, unlike earthly masters and business owners, God wants to give away his kingdom. He is happy that the steward forgave his debtors. And in that line, the steward's shrewdness wasn't that he was looking out for himself with great zeal and focus, but that what he recognized, the character of his master. He knew and trusted the master was merciful. The master doesn't reap where he does not sow, and instead he bestows rewards on those who have not earned, and he refrains from punishing those who deserve it. He is not like us. And finally, though the steward is wicked when he cancels the debts owed to his master and not to him, it is valid and certain as if the master in heaven did it himself. The master honors the steward's absolution. And all of that is good and right. But Jesus adds one more thing at the end of the parable, that the character of the master is to be reflected in his stewards and debtors. I mean, money has its right place. But how are you generous and forgiving, merciful, and hospitable? And Jesus shows the hardness of our hearts, that he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. You know, I doubt anyone here over the age of 10 hasn't daydreamed of great works of charity, gifts, philanthropy, if only they'd had the lottery or inherited millions. I mean, that's the rub. We think if we had millions, we'd be faithful. But Jesus exposes our lie. If we take an honest look at our lives, what fills our day and our houses and garages. Jesus says, you cannot serve God and money. And we think we are all safe. You know, now our way of life as Americans, and all we have is a gift from God to use, celebrate, give thanks. Yet, we can fill our minutes with me. And not much left over for God, family, others. You know, there are stories of how Christians living in communist or Muslim countries come to America. And what persecutions, beatings, threats, harassment, that could not take faith from them. They lose their faith here in only a matter of time because of our way of life. And we're no better. We are all in danger of losing our faith. And the poorest among us have more wealth and blessing than most everyone, even born in the history of the world. And we have not been faithful. Repent, but do not despair. The Master gives away his kingdom. He forgives debts. He who died and rose for sinners is still teaching you. He is eager to forgive, restore. So examine your life. How much time you spend on the phone, tablet, how much time you spend on YouTube and games and streaming, and compare it with how much time you spend with people. Actually listening, paying attention, looking them in the eye, being present for them. Count the hours you spend eating with family each day, and how much time you spend in word and prayer. Yeah, and look at your bank account and credit card statements. See how it reveals what you value. I mean, you can be faithful in what you have. God has made you his steward. He's given all you have as a trust to be faithful, generous, grateful. And this is where true zeal belongs. And Jesus never teaches us to look out for ourselves for the sake of ourselves any more than he wants you to just go out there and maximize pleasure or just be happy. It says, God knows your heart. And that can be frightening. I mean, that's the crux of the parable. God knows your heart, inside and out. No word, thought, or deed hidden from him. How we make friends in this world, treat others, trying to look out for ourselves in this life, justify to God that I'm not bad people, and compare yourself to others before God, that you're not that bad. So what's left? Repentance and faith. Don't try to justify yourself before men, certainly not before God. It's impossible. And like that dishonored steward, our only hope is in the mercy of our Lord. His mercy is promised and delivered to you in Jesus, whose mercy is poured out for you today in his body and blood, whose mercy is to be seen in your mercy to others. In the name of Jesus, amen.